Saw in the newspaper, Helen was looking to the commission for direction on the $3.40. I would recommend that you just put it in like you would anything else, all like a, all when we pay for telephone or something like that.
You just want me to put it in a revenue line? We can't put it back in the expense line it came out of, because then it wouldn't show that Jim received it. So we can put miscellaneous.
It's not to be for Jim to receive, it's just to go into the county budget.
No, I mean, it wouldn't look like he was paid that check that we just gave him. It needs to be put into a revenue line. It can't go into whatever line that his check was just paid out of. I can't put it in there.
I don't think it makes.
Okay.
I mean.
So you do want me to accept the $3.40?
We approved the check this morning.
Yes.
I don't know if you heard that.
Mm-hmm.
That's that. And then this other deal is just a miscellaneous revenue. I mean.
Okay.
Is that all right?
It's fine with me.
I guess it would be like.
A donation of
some
kind.
Somebody donating to something
right.
That's on the thing. I think that's
what I was mentioning is by Rick's suggestion, paid so much a month on using the cell phone.
Right.
Some miscellaneous.
Okay. We will do that. I'll put it in today.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Got nods. Thank you, Helen. All right. Mr. Randy, Casey Road.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
I've had a gentleman on Casey Road with concerns about a property corner. During the project, we normally replace and reestablish all corners that were disturbed, and I normally have the engineering company go through at the end of the project or toward the end and do that, and we did on this project. This particular corner evidently wasn't there during the original survey, and I did confirm that with the survey company that had done the original survey. And I explained that to him, that we put in one of his corners, the other one evidently wasn't there, and so during the process, the engineering company reestablished that corner, but he's still wanting this other corner put back in. He did give us additional right-of-way, being a small amount, but it was needed, and we did acquire that, and I do have the easement for that.
There was no cost to that?
No, there was no cost. I mean, they donated. We did have to, his property like others, we did have to readjust driveways and make things work during the construction process, and we've done all that. He would still like to have the corner, and him and his neighbor both think that the corner was there originally, but we can't find any documentation. I've talked to Midwest surveyors, and they went back and double-checked their notes, and they don't find where they even found the corner originally, so I don't know whether it was there or not. My question is, who would it be our responsibility to put this corner in or leave it to the homeowner? Estimated cost would be $400 to $500 to put this corner in. So.
Randy, can you help me with where we took out a corner one time and had to reestablish it since I've been in office, and I think me and you went to a location where there was a corner that was questionable in a ditch line that had been taken out, and there was some rocks stacked up there. You know, corners are they're identified by several different ways, and our county boys had took that out, and we put it back. We put it back in. I'm in full favor of putting this corner back if the man give us easement without any cost, and if he says it was there. And it's got to be there. I mean, we've got to assume that there was something, a stake in the ground, a pin or something that could have been took out. And I've been, as a lot of corners are, you know, as I watched Midwest surveyors and other people, those corners get buried.
Right.
You know, if it's a spike or a stake, they get totally put underground sometimes, and leaves and debris and everything else cover them up. So I'm in favor of the $400 or $500 cost if the man give us the easement to complete the road without any hassle or anything like that, I'm in favor of, and would make a motion to do so.
A second for discussion. You're only talking about, I mean, the easement's been given.
There were several easements throughout the project that we acquired, and generally on a project this size, we have the engineering firm or whoever we had working on this go back and reestablish corners that we knew about, or people call us and concerned my corner got disturbed or knocked out during that regrading process. So we always reestablish everything we've got documentation on. But this particular corner got missed in the process or wasn't there, or they didn't have any information, and I don't know if it costs more to research it or find it, but
right.
I don't think
not
it
worth
would.
Than to establish it?
Than to just put a new pin in for the gentleman. Several lots down through Casey Road we had to reestablish corner markers and whatnot. So Frank being out this week, I was going to, the gentleman didn't like the answer I gave him, but I did refer to the engineering company, and basically because they didn't have any information on it, they didn't reestablish it, so I told him I would have to bring it to you.
Is that something that the engineering company should have done? Is that where you're going, Jim, with your
idea? I'm just wondering. I mean, I know it got missed, and we just didn't make it right. I just want to make sure that, yeah.
Last week, I had a chance to ask one of your owners of the company, and they started, especially on sewer projects, where throughout the whole project, they just go ahead and put them in. They started that process rather than find out whose responsibility. They just started putting them in regardless, you know, so people do have a known corner to go to, and they don't miss anything now. But at that time, and this has been several years now, so... I guess my question is, should we put it in or
Great River?
Or let the
homeowner do it?
Homeowner do it. And, I mean, he's been great to work with as far as is acquiring the easement and helping us with this project anyway, and hadn't had too much concerns.
If I had property and the county come through and did a project and there wasn't a corner back there where I mean, his property has to be an established corner in four places or identified by such. I would want to put back myself, but I don't know. My only question is if it's Great River's responsibility if they put all the rest of them back in and didn't put that in. But the job being this far down the road, I don't know that we could... And you say you talked to them?
Yeah.
And they didn't think it was their responsibility, or?
Well, I don't think they felt it was their responsibility, being there wasn't one there previous. And whether that should have been the homeowners of cost, as far as the information they had, they didn't do the original survey. Midwest done the original survey, and because they didn't know it, I guess their idea, there wasn't a corner there to begin with, but now the homeowners said there was, and I certainly wasn't going to argue with them because they would have known if there was one there or not. And they're pretty easily to miss.
They sure are.
Is this at an intersection or?
No, it's down pretty close to Casey Glen subdivision. It's in that area. There's several lots and stuff. Two or three road frontage lots, and he owns one of them. Actually lives there. So
it'll affect two property owners.
It'll affect. That's actually the property corner between the two lots that him and his neighbors. So.
See, and that's the thing.
So, and maybe you said it. I missed it. he gave, they gave us the easement we needed?
Yeah, he gave us an easement, although it wasn't very much. It amounted to about 185 square feet. It was a sliver, but anything that we were going to have part of the road or anything encroach on a property, of course, we had to get additional right of way. So. We certainly didn't have any trouble getting the easement and stuff from him. I mean, he was all for the project and
but in the perfect scenario, this would have been caught during the project and we wouldn't be discussing it, right?
Right. It should have been.
Should have been caught.
Should have been caught.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
One more question for me is, how'd this come up?
He called wanting his corner back in, and
it's something that
just got forgot about.
Okay. All right. All in favor? Ready to vote?
Yep. Aye.
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 Motion carries. Thanks for your work on it, Randy. All right. Let's see. Get her agenda up here.
I'm trying to pull it up real fast. We've got, we can always talk about zoning district recommendations. That's always a very popular item with Mr. Strahan.
Very much so.
We have that. We have Nikki, Bob Paulson's work session, and the executive session's what left on the
Linda
morning
this afternoon or something? Because she told me she... Linda, I visited with her, and she's got her dad's situation, and she said she wouldn't have anything for us on.
That's on the morning session, but if she, I think it's just a default. But
yeah,
are we ready to talk about the zoning district?
Good for me.
You prepared, Commissioner Strahan?
Am I prepared?
I don't know. I'm just asking. Are you mentally ready?
We probably need Eddie here, don't we?
Well, we could. I mean, just basically, I was going off of what they sent over to our office. Those zoning districts that the Planning and Zoning Board made recommendations back to us of what they have recommended to us. Basically, all that does is establish a starting point for them to start writing the codes or revise the codes to match up with those districts. But I mean, at this point, it's just a matter of creating those districts. And then I really see the biggest discussions we're going to have is the codes within for each district is how specific or how vague we're going to be. From a district's perspective, I think it's, you know, I'm sure I'll hear it from maybe the assessor, but the district itself is pretty harmless. It's the codes that tie to that district is when the specifics and the discussions really need to spend the time on. Maybe we can get another dictionary definition read to us on socialism. That was a jab for James if he's listening. I'm going to move that we adapt or adopt the zoning district recommendations that was recommended by the Planning and Zoning Board.
Okay, I'll second it.
Okay.
You don't have a copy with you?
I have it up in my box. I don't. I apologize.
I've got it upstairs here. Okay.
I mean, I think it's, gosh, I don't want to, well, I may have it right here. Hold on one second. I think it was emailed to me. Eddie. If I'm not mistaken, it was the same ones that we had discussed during our, all that process we had.
I guess we're open for discussion, aren't we?
That we are.
I haven't reviewed those. Probably my own fault that I haven't. But
he ran over here.
As you well know, I'm opposed to the zoning in different phases and for different reasons. The fact that it makes it easy for, we've had some questionable things that have been turned down by P&Z in the past and some approved by P&Z in the past that were questionable. This gives the easy way out for a controversial issue as, well, it's zoned that way and we don't. We're not going to allow you to change. I've heard the argument before that all you got to do is come to the P&Z meeting and get it approved, and it will really won't have that big of an effect if it doesn't harm anybody else. Well, I can see how it could really harm somebody that was wanting to do something, and the easy way out for P&Z would say, well, it's just zoned in this area, and we're going to stick with the zoning that's there, even though you do have a good project and it makes sense. So we're going to vote to deny. Those kind of things, I think, along with the amount of time that a person can work on a job and things like that are silly and the wrong way for our county to proceed. I know there's a lot of supporters of P&Z. It has passed in the past. The vote has been four, but I'm not sure if it was brought back to a vote, and I think that if some of these things go through that there'll be a push to petition drive to repeal it, just like there was in Stone County. And I haven't had a chance to review all of these districts. I know that some of that stuff was put in there, but I have been out with numerous doctor's appointments and things like that, and hadn't had a chance to go over exactly everything that's in this.
With the exception of two items here, this is exactly what I took to the board from you three individuals here. The difference was when we had got together originally, we had started off with two agricultural districts. Y'all had narrowed that down to one. I believe Mr. Pendle and Mr. Strahan had wanted just to have the one district to adequately define how things exist. Right now, our board felt that there should be probably two agricultural districts, one that is 10 acres and up, and one that represents the smaller agricultural farm, some between 10 and 2 acres. So that was their recommendation on that. The other one was in the C1 commercial area. We had talked about putting our special use permits there with discussion with our board. Of course, our special use permits do not change the residential nature of the area where that special use permit is issued. It's not used to establish commercial compatibility or anything like that. So they said that being the case, that really shouldn't even be in there because it doesn't affect the zoning. It doesn't make it commercial or anything like that. But they did want to split between large commercial where you might have a big strip center or something like that going in as opposed to a single standing one building type commercial entity. So basically that's the
in difference. A residential area.
These would be saying. Small. Yeah, we'd be looking more at smaller freestanding that would probably be down into a neighborhood area.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. As opposed to
And that's where they're already established, Eddie, is the way that you would try to zone it now, like you have I'm just thinking about two or three of those situations where you might have two or three businesses in a resident. 76 is a perfect example out where across from the golf course there where we have two commercial businesses. We have a residential, then we have another commercial, and we have a commercial across the road. And it's a prime example of what I am again on the issue is that whenever a person came in and wanted to put a restaurant in on the corner there and was refused with two commercial businesses right beside him and one across the street, and one neighboring down and was refused. I don't see the I don't see the sense that that makes.
And I don't know that I know the particular case you're referring to. There's other things that come into play other than just, is it close to a commercial business? You know, can they meet their parking standards? Do they have enough? There's a whole lot of things that come into play. I don't really know. But, yes, sir, this would be dealing with more individual type businesses around and everything like that. They would, you know, in a lot of cases, I mean, I don't know exactly how we're going to head. You know, what we're dealing with right now is just painting the picture of what's out there. That's it. So if it's not a restaurant today, if it's a house sitting there, and you go with this, then it'll be a residential structure. And if they wanted to change that to a restaurant, they would go through the process.
I have a couple comments. What we're doing is existing use. We're not changing the existing use for anybody in the county. So if, like Eddie was saying, if it's a house today, it will most likely fall under R1. It would be a house after the districts. And once again, the districts don't have a correlation to compatibility of a neighborhood. I mean, the districts basically are guidelines, but each decision still has the discussion of the board members. And board members are still going to say, okay, this item does or does not fit. If it does fit, it's a C1 or like this restaurant you're talking about. But this document doesn't override the board's decision criteria if that should go there or not. I mean, that's why they're there. What we're trying to do is just say, okay, if you're a residential, now you'll be a resident. We're not changing anybody's usage whatsoever. I mean, I'm making sure it's a statement, but a question also at the same time, Eddie. I mean, we're not doing anything to change.
And by the same token, if you're commercial today, you're commercial tomorrow, you would have a little more leeway with your commercial, because if you are commercial and we eventually get to the place where we have permitted uses, if you want to change this business, you don't necessarily have to come back and see me, as long as you can meet the other requirement. You have to come back and see me. You don't have to come see the board, I guess is what I'd say.
And I have one more question, comment, which is, in the certain areas within the county, let's assume that this passes, and when it's time to start looking at existing usage, and it may be three usages on that one parcel, mm-hmm. for example, we're going to have separate hearings on those conflict parcels, right?
That would be my understanding of what's going to happen,
okay.
Yes, sir.
I want to make sure it's not like any of those conflict-type areas where there may be a home-based business or, you know, whatever it may be, however they're operating, that there'll be a discussion with the property owner to say, what do you want, what's the best use, and all those discussions.
Right. I've got a map of existing land use based just on the three assessments that we have right now in the county, and I've got a parcel of land that looks probably to be maybe half a section that has one little commercial use on it, but because that's the highest use on that, I had it painted red, so I know there was a commercial use there, but there would be no sense for that whole thing to be assessed commercial because he's just got a very, very small business. So,
and we don't deal with assessment.
What I'm saying is, so he would come to us and say, my land is commercial, or just a portion of my land is commercial,
right.
in these meetings when you're, you know, which you're a long, long way away from. But I mean, everybody would have the opportunity to, from my understanding, to look at this and say, here's my piece of property, and here's what I am, here's what I'm doing.
What if you owned a large tract of land, say 300 or 400 acres, and you decide that you're, and I'm not using me as an example,
sure.
but I do know of a situation like this, and the guy's already preparing to put in, he's wanting to develop it. And in that 400 acres, I don't know whether he's going to want a little convenience store type facility for the people that live in there. I mean, that's awful handy to have such a thing, but he's going to have a commercial business and be surrounded by residential, or he may have a little three or four commercial businesses there that supply needs that people would that live in his development. How do you handle something like that where he's wanting that? Does it come before the board and then they'd make a decision whether he can do that or not?
Let me answer it based off my understanding, because if I answer it wrong, then I don't have an understanding of what this is. In a situation like that, I'm thinking of a specific area right now of the developer. You know, he wants 40 of the 400 acres to be this little development area. well, he basically knows what he wants. He knows he's going to have houses in this area, some service businesses here and all that. He could do one of two things. He could go under the neighborhood commercial, which would be C1, or he could go under the overlay district, which is basically a planned development. He's planning to do a development, and he's got, I think what, from my understanding, is you're trying to get a better understanding if the developer has a master plan. And in situations like that, he could go into the overlay district and have that mixed use, and so he would have two avenues to go in with that development.
He's already tore down three residential deals, so he's got plans on.
Right now, he should have brought those plans through if he's proceeding with this to get his land use changed. I don't think you take this right now, and maybe I'm thinking different than you guys, but right now we're just looking to paint what's out there. We're not
right.
We're not opening this up willy-nilly to say, okay, in 20 years I'm going to make a high-rise development out here. There's still a process in place. You know, if right now there's nothing out there and it falls in agricultural, that's what it is. There's methods in place to change that when you are ready to develop and everything like that. But I don't think you gentlemen are intending to entertain everybody's idea as you're taking current use and saying, okay, in the future you're wanting to do car washes here. We're not looking to change everybody's zoning at this time. We're just looking to draw what currently exists.
My entire intention is to put what they're using it into a new zoning districts that could get us legal. So
correct.
Not change existing use. It's just strictly to plop them in to what we're doing right now.
So there will still be people that will need to do usage change, land usage change, or rezoning, and
through the normal process.
But gentlemen, that always should be approved by the elected commission.
Right.
That's state statute.
Right. Which we're adding that process.
Right.
I'd like to go back, if I could, to Manny's comments about the. You're talking out there about Bob Paulson's house, right?
That deal,
Randy's,
yes.
Deal.
Right.
And because I'd really like to get a handle on what your concerns are, if we could.
Okay.
Then you know it well. Here,
I know where Bob is, and I was driving out there with Bob one day.
Right here is the old Branson sign shop.
Uh-huh.
It's a car repair restoration shop now. There's a vacant lot here, and there's an old home here. And it was applied to, I believe, put a restaurant in there.
And that was, yes, sir. That was before my time, and I've spoke with the individual there.
Okay.
And in actuality, the way that lot is shaped, he cannot meet setbacks.
Okay. There's homes. He backs up to this subdivision where Bob is, and there are
right.
homes all around here, duplexes, single family, and duplex here. There's homes all here.
Mm-hmm.
You have another home or two, and then you get over here, and there's a business, and then there's another one.
Okay.
Kind of like there is in lots of mm-hmm. county.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is to our P&Z guy, how would that be handled?
If that piece of property is commercial and he comes in, as I've said before, and that piece of property.
Hang on. Let me back up, please. The shop is surely commercial.
Sure.
Do you know James? But the old home is still residential, probably, as far as you know. So as we move, what the question I'm trying to nail down here, as and if we move forward, how's that piece of property going to be zoned? What district is that going to fall under?
Let me make sure I'm oriented correctly before we. If I'm looking straight at the building where the car restoration is done, to the left, there is no home there.
There's vacant, and then next over, there's the house, which is on the corner of that street that accesses that subdivision.
And then this is the old home, and they were, I don't know if they were going to tear it down or they were going to remodel it and make it a restaurant. One of the two.
Is it?
But this is
because,
the property.
Because the property I'm talking about comes in like this. And I
comes
thought
like
it,
what?
It's kind of triangular shape. It tapers
I'm
down.
I'm going to pull up the lot here.
Okay.
No. The one that I believe it. See, I have a lot of complaints about the. They got a privacy fence up mm-hmm. between it and the subdivision. And the trees grow the limbs out over, the county road runs right along there, and the trees come out over, and we have a call out there constantly to have the brush trimmed. And that's my only concern about this, is we have one person that wants to do something or expand. I mean, if the family, if the original family that owned that house, and this I think has been sold, or I believe it has, and this guy wanted to put a restaurant in, if he had intentions of someday putting him in a restaurant there and met all the qualifications that would be met, I can't see why that it would be turned down, especially with now, the extra open lot.
But I think one of your statements you just made was if all the qualifications
right, and that's my only deal.
And the question is, the qualifications for what? A commercial business?
Commercial operation.
So we'd have to make sure we have a commercial operation rules. If they met the requirements, there should be no reason why
they don't go before a board or anything. In this situation, this individual may come to you when you were holding public meetings on this and say, really, this should all be commercial, and y'all may agree with him on that. And if you do, then that's how you would draw that.
But we're getting a little further
down
the road.
That's
not existing use. That's
right.
Planning.
Right.
And so that's what I'm saying. We're just trying to do existing use. Are you pulling it up right now?
So...
I visited with this, is his name Randy?
Randy.
I visited with him several months ago at the request of the sewer district, just to stop out and see what was going on. And evidently he had requested years ago to put another business or something on that piece of property there. And at that particular time I told him, you know, as long as it could meet the setbacks and everything, I thought that would be fine. He seemed to think that he was going to have a lot of opposition from the neighborhood behind him and everything. But as I got to looking at the property, I thought, though, that property was a funny shape. I mean, it looks like a big rectangle there, but I didn't remember it being like that when I went back and pulled it up on my computer.
And it has that. Does he own the spare lot too, Chuck? So he owns two.
I know the lot right next door to is the one that he and I were talking about, it wasn't a rectangular lot, if I remember correctly. But I'll have to go up and look at it and see. But
talking about the corner on the left, Jim, that way more.
Where your little...
Oh, that's fine right there.
Right there.
If you...
There.
If,
isn't that the house?
He's down here near the bottom, isn't he?
No,
that's the house. Yes. That's the house.
That's the house.
Yeah, and we were just discussing this one lot right next to the building, right in that area right there, is what he and I were discussing.
Right. Well, see, it was the only use that you could put on it. You said it didn't meet... It doesn't meet for a residential, but it would meet for a commercial parking lot.
I thought he was wanting to put a building or something on there, and he didn't have room for his building and his parking and everything.
We're on the highway. There you go.
That right one. There. Yeah, that's
all right. And the next one. Okay, and then the next one where the house is. Okay, evidently he doesn't.
See, I didn't think he owned that house.
Right.
That's why I was.
But he was, and it may not have been him personally, but. Yeah. But anyhow, what I'd like to hang my hat on is, if we move forward with this, what's going to happen? How would that house be, those four properties, how are we going to, what district are they going to stay
in? If you're looking at strictly existing use, I think for the two vacant lots, the business owners could come in and say, this is all my property and this is where I run my business. I would like this to be zoned commercial if you're looking at existing use.
Okay.
I think you can make that argument.
But if they wanted residential,
he could
make it residential.
Make it residential. I mean, that's the kind of process that you'll go through to do that.
All right, hold up for me now. So we get to that process, that property. In this case, Randy is going to have a choice. He'll have an opportunity to come to a public hearing.
In that precinct, yeah.
And wherever you're holding that, yes, sir.
And he will say...
You need to look into this, and then...
I want it this way or that way, those two vacant lots.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and
sir.
He can make that proposal.
He's got proximity of commercial, so I think you would have to look at that and say, we would take all the information, make the recommendation to you, or let you know this is what he said, and then you gentlemen would have to make that final call.
So unless somebody on the commission had a problem, that's probably what would happen.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So the next place, which is the house, which is a different owner, but it doesn't matter who the owner is, how would that be?
It's residential right now.
It is residential right now. If he came and made the case to you and you saw the viability of making a commercial zone down through there and they wanted to keep it as residential while they live there, you could get yourself into a pre-existing non-conforming use. But right now, if you're painting it just what it is,
it's residential.
Okay, but if that property owner, just like Randy, came in and said, I've got commercial right next to me, and I think that should be commercial, what are we going to tell him?
May I ask you a question? May me clarify your question, Pat?
Sure.
You're saying if the vacant lots went commercial, then I would say the house is commercial.
You would have to consider their request.
Okay.
And if they've got reasoning for that.
But if the owner of the vacant lot said, I want a residential,
right.
I would say the house is residential.
Okay. But the current property owner would make their plea unless...
Correct.
If it's a valid reason, I think it's something that you have to entertain when you're doing this kind of thing. Do understand, gentlemen, and I want to take you back. Just because you make a commercial doesn't get rid of all the rules that are in place. Okay, commercial requires some buffering between where commercial adjoins residential.
Right.
And so that comes into play more than just the setback line.
Still got to place rules.
So there's some, and not to say that if you made that commercial and they couldn't meet their 30-foot buffering, which is required, to say that they couldn't go to the Board of Adjustment and say, I need to get a variance from this, here's what I'm willing to do. Whether they would grant it or not, I don't know. Okay. But I mean, there's other rules in place. Even though you're commercial, doesn't mean you can just. I mean, you've still got rules to meet.
Yeah.
So hearing that information, Danny and James too, what's your concerns there?
My concerns is it was turned down in the first place, and I have no.
But I mean afterwards. But,
okay. What I'm saying is if I decided if I owned that property, just to say that if I owned it. And I look here at this map, and you got the residential side on top, which doesn't match the same physical size as the house and the lot, then I would want the ability to put a commercial deal in there. It's got a privacy fence. Whenever you talk about a buffer line,
does.
You have to have some accountability for whoever put the privacy fence up there
currently
for a buffer.
Currently, just looking at that piece of property, and it's State Highway 76, the code book requirement is that for a new building in there, off of the state highway, they have a 50-foot setback, and then where their property adjoins a residential tract from the property line, whether there's privacy fence or not, they require it's 30-foot buffering. So you take
30 feet off the back,
30 off the back, and 50 off the front. It probably can make that pretty close to unbuildable for commercial entity. Not to say that it couldn't be a parking lot, or something like that, and not to say that possibly variances could be granted or something like that. But you understand that's the rules that are in place already. So it wasn't just, and I wasn't here at that time, so I don't know. But probably wasn't just a deal where they looked at it and said, no, that's not a good idea. It's probably that they could not meet the current requirements, and the Planning Commission Board does not have the right to grant approval for anything that violates their code book.
Well, I sat in on the meeting on this case, and the neighbors, the residents around came, and they did not want that, as I remember it, been a few years ago. But anyway, it was turned down. I don't remember why. But as it stands now, Danny, do you have a problem with that? Because you would have the opportunity, if you own that house there, and there wasn't an issue, as Eddie's brought up, of setbacks and whatnot, and there was room for you to build a small restaurant there like they talked about. Do you have a problem with us going forward that way? Because that's what they're talking about now.
Yeah, I would have a problem with if I owned the property and paid taxes on it, I'd have a problem with it because I think that the
problem with what? I'm not following.
If I wanted to put a commercial business in there and it not being granted to me,
you can close that.
We got privacy fences on two sides of it to eliminate any problems. Now, I'm talking, we're using this for an example, but I'm talking about places all over the county. Well,
and not to say variances can't be given if they feel it's sufficient.
My perspective is, if they've met all the setback rules and all the rules, it needs to be considered because there's a commercial business just two doors down or three spaces down. So
There's commercial compatibility in the area.
The specifics of why that is.
And so, you know, as far as compatibility is concerned, and you know, you can't do that. I wouldn't think you should be able to do that because, you know, within 1,000 feet, there's commercial compatibility. Some other rules, you know, would still have to be met. And if they couldn't be, then there's always the option to ask for a variance from that. You know, like right now, our code book says 50 feet off that front. But talking with MoDOT, they're okay with 25. But that person has to go to BOA right now because our code book says 50 and get the change. So he can knock 25 feet off of that without, you know, without any concern there. And that'll be something we need to look at in the future to see if that's even something that's viable that we want to continue. But I'm
still not hearing your problem with it, Danny, because I'm hearing them say that if you own that property, you would be able to say, Mayor Jim's saying, that, yeah, that ought to be the way it goes, that it would be zoned commercial if that's what you wanted.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have a problem with it, right?
Not if I wanted to put a commercial business there.
And conceptually, you have a problem.
And Mr. Strahan, if it is, if you gentlemen looked at that, he came to you and said, well, I'd like for this lot to be commercial, but I want to keep this in residential, and y'all say okay to that, then he doesn't go before the board. He just has to meet, you know, the setback and the requirements and everything like that. He may have to go get a variance if he can't, you know, depending on what he's wanting to put in there.
Eddie, here's my concern, is we may not be here.
Exactly right.
And you may have a totally different board of P&Z people that are appointed to people that would say absolutely no after a man's paid taxes and all these things. And owns a piece of property. I guess what I'm standing up for is property rights. If this particular, because we're using this, the reason I'm using this one is because it's got the privacy fence. Mm-hmm. Somebody had to pay for that.
Yep.
It's got the availability, like you said, the proximity of all the other commercial businesses. So that in itself, if I decided I wanted to put a restaurant in there, I don't want to have to go through a whole bunch of people to get it done. I mean, I'm the man that owned it. I'm the man that's paying the taxes on it, and that's my problem with
it. And I can show you places right around here close where they let people go in and put several kind of businesses and didn't have adequate parking in there, depending on other people and stuff.
Well, I'm not talking about that. Yeah. I'm talking about if it meets
meets the requirements, and like I say, if he was to
make
come,
the requirements so tough, like the privacy fence in the back and the 30-foot buffer zone, whenever you couldn't see through 15 feet of that
I agree.
Woolly mess, then I would have a problem with it.
And a privacy fence may be perfectly acceptable to them and everything, but I mean that's where the Board of Adjustment comes in and says, yes, all you're going to need is a privacy fence, maybe 8 foot instead of six or something like that. I mean, that it's doable and everything. You know, it's just, and I'm sure that this particular individual would want to request that be considered an extension of his commercial property, which takes him out of having to go and say, you know, can I change this to commercial? Because that would be, when you get this done, that would already be there if that was his request.
We kind of got off base of what this is, but that's just an example I wanted to use. And
it's tough when you have developments that from years gone by and everything like that, and everything's kind of grown together. It gets kind of screwy trying to look at it and say, you know, how can we make this work? Well, it's just, you know, you have to, you know, make some allowances and stuff for things like that. I understand that. But.
Well, the point that I see that we stand today is we either have to go forward with districts that are presented here to us, or you do away with planning and zoning. Because sooner or later, we're going to get challenged on what we got, just like Stone County did.
Yes,
and
sir.
A judge will say, you can't have planning and zoning. So
he'll say, redo it if you're going to have it.
Right.
The way you're existing
but
now.
But if we don't redo it, Eddie,
right,
to districts, then we're done with planning zoning. So
you could be, yes, sir.
And the way then, I see the choice before us is either we do away with planning and zoning where there's not any, or we work towards having districts where we can be legal.
Right.
Is that right?
That's about the two
way
choices.
You see it?
Yes, sir.
Good.
So I see it.
James?
Well, you know, our current planning and zoning that was put in, and for the benefit at that time that was sold, I opposed it, and that's pretty obvious, was put in for the benefit of the people and was actually to have a situation such as planning and zoning ruling your life, it wasn't that bad. But over the years of the added codes in which Stone County has seen, when they rebuilt theirs, they come up with, I think it's on the news, 79 new codes to go along with their zoning that was added to their planning department. And that's what you get into right here. You've got, if this guy wants these two vacant lots commercial and this house's current use is residential and that's the only way it'll show up, I don't care how you sugarcoat it, that's what's going to happen, then he's going to have to go into this extreme case of getting this zoned all commercial to put his restaurant on. The problem of that being on a board, you can take one influential board member and influence the entire board. Seen it happen. I was here 2 weeks ago. Seen it happen. What we've got, that little blue mark up there on the side, where residential housing was built in a residential neighborhood, but because it was duplexes, fought this county for months. Actually got turned down. But he was kind of a hard-headed fella, and he kept on working, and I think, I don't know whether there's ever a stop order on it, but that was just to build residential property on residential property under our current rules, guys. Eddie's shaking his head. Yes, he knows I'm referring to what happened.
Two duplexes there, and we don't make any provisions to build duplexes in Taney County.
And it was residential on residential. That was an issue. Now we're talking about how easily it might be to change commercial residential to commercial across the street. I'm saying it would be a heck of a job and lots of lawyers involved. The other thing I have, and we definitely want to become legal because somebody said we should, circumventing all laws, but somebody said we need to become legal. So, yes, I want to do that. Our old planning and zoning says agriculture is exempt from this document. And I'll be darned. How can something be exempt if you throw controls on it? Are you going to do away with that original document that set planning and zoning? Because there's a statement in there. But all of a sudden, this judge's order, and I respect the judge for giving his order the way he did, says evidently agriculture is not exempt. Well, it's what's been adopted and put through this county for years. That's why the implementation of mini subs and all that. We can get in or out of that argument. Well, I know what that's there for. It's to control agriculture. So somebody's going to have to do something more than just a simple step of zoning in this county. They're going to have to undo everything that was done. Now, you talk about the regulation in MoDOT there, 60-foot setback. I've talked to MoDOT several times on that, and they think it's a joke. They think it's a joke. Yet our county continues to implement it unless somebody steps forward and complains hard enough to get it changed.
We always tell people that they can immediately get their 25 feet off of that.
Yeah, but my issue is
that it's still there.
Yeah, why
isn't
that written in?
With your agricultural, if you're 100% agricultural use, we don't regulate you. But when you put a residence there, you don't want to keep your cows and everything in your house. So we do require a permit. But what I'm hearing, what I think I'm hearing anyway, it sounds like y'all want to mix. If I own agricultural land, I should be able to do whatever, just whenever, and not have to get any land use change or anything like that. I own 500 acres, and so if I want to put a subdivision in here, I should be able to do it and not have any regulations because I'm agriculture. That's kind of what it sounds like I'm hearing. I don't think that's what you're saying.
It's not what I'm saying, but it's what's there now as far as I can see in any codes I've ever read.
But if it's agricultural... and you're building a hay barn, no problem. We don't even issue a permit for it. But if you're building a residential structure, then yes, you have to fall in with.
And you may not have been here, Eddie, but I do remember in the past it got extreme. Even notices went out in tax bills, wrote out of here of the Planning and Zoning Department. Yes, you did have to get permits to all that. And I do know in the past people have been requested by Planning and Zoning to get a land use disturbance permit to doze 40 acres and put it in pasture. That has happened.
Normally we go out and ask and say, what do you got going? And if they say, well, I'm planting crops, we back off and don't say anything.
I know you do, but that's not always been that way.
A lot of times they tell us they're planting crops, but they raise mobile homes.
Yeah, I understand.
So it's a little different. So,
but that's my opinion of what's going on. Yes, maybe the judge was correct in saying you need zoning, but boy, that crystal ball is awful big. That crystal ball is awful big, and I don't understand. And like I say, we got agreement from many individuals that many things in planning and zoning is wrong. Why are we not taking those out to make the new changes not see so extreme? I just don't understand that portion.
And I think the big picture here will address some of those issues. But that's not where we're at. We're just trying to draw
a start,
just what's here, so that we can define it and draw it. That's all.
We'll make a motion to table this for about a week. Okay. Anybody second that motion?
I'll second it.
Yeah, I'm going to be on vacation probably next week.
I'd say 2 weeks then.
Okay.
3 weeks?
I don't have that much vacation.
Is it for discussion of the...
Yes, you want to discuss the table?
Are we looking for something specific?
Postponing
the inevitable.
Since you ask them, we've got an election coming up. And you could have a different presiding commissioner. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know what the other two candidates feel, because if they don't want planning and zoning, then we're wasting our time.
And I need to know where your next opening is.
Well, that's true, because you're the tiebreaker vote right now, because Danny and I are on opposite ends on this one. So
I'm for going forward.
Right. Well, I understand. But
you could have, I mean, we face this same situation before Danny came on with specifically a big issue, and that was where to build the jail. Mm-hmm. I was for building it downtown. Mm-hmm. The other two commissioners were not. We had somebody new coming on, which turned out to be Danny, and the gentleman that sat in his spot says, hold off. Let's see what happens.
Let me see how I can say this. You've got a process started.
Let me interrupt you. But if you got a different commissioner,
yes, sir, I understand that. But I'm not talking about
for planning and zoning. Then we're going to go through, and that was the case with the new jail. We're going to go through a bunch of work,
right?
And then it's going to stop.
Well, what I'm referring to is you've got a contract, and a process, and you're kind of in the middle of this contract, mm-hmm. and I don't know where that stands or what they're going to finish doing for you or anything like that. You've got monies expended and they're being held by this, whether they owe you work or don't owe you work or anything, I don't know. But what I'm saying is until they do get this, they can't do anything. But if they do get this, it doesn't mean you have to adopt it either.
But Eddie, tell me something. Mm-hmm. How long have they been waiting on this? No, seriously.
Well,
6 months.
Probably,
year?
Probably so. Yes. I'm just saying. I'm just wanting you to know that.
And the reason I bring that up, I think we've been. I don't have a good word for it, but not very professional for hanging them out there and hanging this process out for so long, mm-hmm. because they've been waiting on this.
2 weeks is not gonna matter. I understand that. I expected that you might see this and say, take it back to your board and see if you can get a different recommendation. There's a possibility that could go back and forth like that sometime. But
let me ask you another question. If we approve these districts and as we go down the road, we find that, well, we really didn't want to agriculture, or we needed three commercials. Can that change as the process goes on before it's adopted?
Well, sure.
Sure it can.
I appreciate you answering my question.
It can.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Everything can change. I mean,
James has got up and called a socialist and all this stuff. And
did I forget to do that today?
You forgot it. And Jim even gave you a reminder earlier.
So I was waiting for the new definition. Different version. Webster, maybe.
No, it's
my point is, what I'm bringing up there is, I've got phone calls on a Monday morning saying, we're going to vote and it's going to be all over. But that's not the case.
No. No. This is, boy, just the very
process.
First step.
I mean, over.
I could very easily see, you know, you're spending another year to 2 years. We may go through the elections for everybody on here before.
Well, you're right. Seven. I mean,
so that
but you know,
my point. If you know, you're up with two commissioners that don't want planning and zoning.
Right.
Why do we spend a few months and then?
I'm not asking you to spend any money or anything like that. But from my perspective, and gentlemen, I want you to know, I say this respectfully to you. It is your responsibility to move the county as you think it should be moved while you're in office. Not make provisions for what the next guy in is going to do, because they may all get together and say, starting tomorrow, we're signing petitions to get rid of planning zoning. You're right. But from my perspective, it's your responsibility to do what you think is right for the county, and that's why you were voted in.
I agree with that 100%. But I also agree, and I think my example of the new jail is a good example.
Sure.
We could have spent tons of money.
I don't think there's a lot of money involved with this.
Knowing that it's going to be turned around in a few months.
Sure.
I don't think that's wise use of our money. So anyway. And I could bring it back up tomorrow. I mean, if the other two...
I'm here tomorrow.
The other two candidates. In fact, if you want, we'll table it till tomorrow. What is our schedule tomorrow?
No, I'm just kidding. Gentlemen, you've got the recommendations. I don't think I can give you a whole lot of definitions that'll make anything one way or the other. I think we've all got a basic understanding here. It can get complicated. It doesn't necessarily have to get any more complicated than we want it to be. But if you're wanting to move to what you feel like is compliance, this is step one, painting what's in the area and defining it so that it can be.
And this just kind of fell in my lap. But quite honestly, I've been trying to get a town meeting with the three commissioners, candidates, so that we can talk about things like this. But I can't get one to come along for an open meeting where we can discuss these issues.
Well, it's election year, and this is hot.
Well,
no wonder she's saying.
But we've got issues that I think the public would like to know, sure. And this is one of them.
Sure.
What are you going to do about planning zone?
Yeah.
Are you for it or against it? So anyway, more discussion on the table.
I'm good.
Ready to vote?
You're voting to table.
Yeah. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Call me when you're ready.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Eddie. We appreciate your help on it.
I just sent a note to Nikki for her to come on down for her work session.
Okay.
And before she's coming, I just want to remind everyone, tomorrow and Thursday we're hosting the executive director candidates. So Nikki's done a great job organizing. Each one of the commissioners have a different role. Rick Ziegenfuss is out of town with a family emergency, so Rob Dixon will be taking his spot in the Hollister. But tomorrow-wise... tomorrow and Thursday, we've got a full day. And then, of course, Wednesday and Friday is BOE time, 100%.
Full week,
there won't be much of flexibility. I mean, today, the biggest thing today is the Tiger II applications, both from what Great River's doing and HDR is doing. And then we also have the TC tab meeting at 3 o'clock. And then we have some initial budget discussions today. But unlike normally, we really don't have a lot of flexibility in this week's schedule, it appears. So. Come on up, Nick. Get close to your microphone. We want to make sure we hear you.
Great.
I know you like that. James, it's good seeing you. See you soon.
Yes.
As far as Friday, I'll be adding BOE starting at 8 o'clock. I was also informed on Wednesday that the clerk wants to start BOE at 9 o'clock. You see that we have items on here that have been scheduled for approximately 10 to 14 days.
I posted the energy savings. We can put that off to another week. It's not. That's with the same company that I don't think they were going to come in. Can you just double check to make sure they weren't invited? But that was the same group that did the thermostatic controls.
They were invited.
Let's.
And I've already received a confirmation from.
Let's go ahead and push them back. It can wait. I mean, BOE is our obligation.
What's the Boys Camp Road deal? Because I thought we were going to wait till Helen's report to discuss that.
There was two things: Helen's report, but we were also going to wait from the CDBG people to see if I think they're coming. They're going to be on a conference call to talk about the timeline. Remember, I think if you remember, Travis said something about the point that he's getting pressure for us to sign the application.
Yeah. So that's what that is.
I think it's a conference call with them at 8 o'clock.
All right.
The SM&G, I don't know. I mean, the last time we had it posted, they were supposed to give us some documents to say where they're actually going.
Frank had a meeting with them. You guys were unavailable because it was on a Wednesday.
Right.
You guys had BOE. So he has some information to bring back to you.
Isn't Frank gone today?
Yes.
And tomorrow?
He'll be back tomorrow. But you guys are booked all day tomorrow.
If it's just Frank, we can make it at 8:01. Is SMG, are they representatives coming in for that?
That I don't know.
Okay.
I'll have to ask Frank.
Anyway, energy savings, let's push that off another week or so. That can wait.
Okay. Do you want to have Frank at 7:30?
It's fine with me. It's up to you guys.
Well, we're going to be set.
Wednesday. On Wednesday.
You have Wednesday meetings, don't you?
Yeah, but we're going to be sitting here after we talk to them till 9 o'clock. After we talked to the Boys Camp deal, so I don't see that we...
8:30?
They had originally asked for an hour and a half on Boys Camp Road. And I told them only an hour.
Boys Camp Road for an hour and a half?
Travis, you mean?
Yes.
Wow. I would just put Boys Camp at 8 and put SM&G at 8:30, and we've got to be finished by 9. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, the problem is we have BOE obligations, so we've got to get that done.
Okay.
And we know what Wednesday's like. I mean, that's the airport BOE appeal. I mean, there's a bunch of things that we've...
Okay.
I think that would be fine. I'd be in agreement with that. Is that going to work into your schedule, all right? Sure.
Wednesday morning?
8:30.
Yeah, I can make it.
Okay. And then you can take the minutes off. We just won't do any minutes at all. Is there no payroll, right?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay, so we can take that off. And the BOE starts at 9 o'clock, you're saying?
Yeah.
9 to 5?
That's what they're requesting, yes.
9 to 5.
What seem to...
And then we're doing the same on Friday.
I think they want to start at 8.
Said it's starting at 8.
Wednesday, Friday at 8. Okay.
Because that's the last day.
There's nothing, the report that I got on the email was there's nothing scheduled for Friday. But that was to be moved to Thursday.
But the problem with Thursday was we already committed with the executive director who's driving in or flying in for the meeting with us. So Thursday, we're full.
Tuesday and Thursday.
They've been scheduled for 45 days or so.
Okay,
so.
Did you get that settled with the BOE members?
Yes, we did. Well, we told them it is what it is. We told them we can't change the Tuesday or Thursday.
Because I think that we...
Dave Oliphant's the one who was...
But in a BOE meeting, we set the Thursday schedule, and so you guys have got that all taken care of.
We talked about it during the session on Friday and let them know that we couldn't do Thursday. We had to do Friday.
Okay. All right, I just want to make sure. Because
I won't say that they all agreed or were happy about it, but they all understood.
But there's nothing on the BOE overflow. Am I right, Cindy, for Thursday or Friday?
Friday. We had talked about Friday BOE overflow.
I know, but as of now, there's nothing on there.
Right. Just decisions.
There's nothing on there. We're not even necessarily scheduled for it. It's just that it's there if we need it, if we need to schedule it.
Yeah.
We'll know Wednesday at the end of session if we need it. We'll know Wednesday if we need the Friday.
Yeah.
Okay, so I won't put that on.
Right.
So,
Nikki, do you have, Jim said something about a kind of a schedule for our interviews. Do you have something on that?
Mm-hmm. Upstairs, I do. Upstairs, I do.
Is it, the reason I ask is, are all the three of us tied up all day with them?
Individually.
At different times throughout the day.
And where my thought is, I mean, we've worked with as little as three BOE members.
True.
If it helps the rest of the members to do it on Thursday and break up our, you know, one of us is going to be missing part of the day.
Yeah, he has a point. We can just at least put it on the calendar.
Because
at least we can have it on the schedule posted, and if we don't need it, we don't need it. So I think Chuck's point is just put it on it for...
I need a time.
9 o'clock. Just put it from 9 to 5 BOE, and if we don't need it on if we're done Wednesday, then we won't need it Thursday or Friday.
Okay.
I mean, it's...
That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, just go ahead and post it. I mean, I
who has the first round with the...
I don't know. Don't they come in and we all talk to them for a little bit?
Chuck? I think you're the guy, right. And I think I've got the lunch deal with them both days.
That's correct.
And so...
But we're all together initially, aren't we?
Initially,
yeah.
You all meet with them.
Together, as a commission.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think you take them around to the courthouse and all meet the elected officials and a couple of the city of
and
Forsyth.
And then the city of Forsyth with the mayor.
And then Rockaway Beach, if time allows.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just going to post BOE from 9 to 5 on Thursday also,
yes,
if we need it for overflow.
Okay.
I think that's good.
When would you like me to post the reappointment for the tourism district that Ann McDowell talked about this morning?
That was my question. Thank you. Do we want to let it hit the paper first to see if anybody else puts their name up, which would be Wednesday, or because I'm sure the paper will probably make some comment, both papers make some comment about that.
And that's fine. I don't think there's any.
No, I mean, Ann does
pressure.
A great job, I think, so.
I don't think there's any pressure to get it done, but I talked to her, and she's going to wait and visit with me on my issues there after the 4th of August. So she didn't think there was any real restricted time frame.
Danny, is that something that you wanted to go over and speak with her?
She's going to make arrangements with you guys and on my schedule.
Okay.
And have her. I'm going to visit with her. I'll either go over there or she'll come over here.
Okay.
Well, I don't think I've heard the words, but what I'm assuming is that we're open to someone presenting their resume. Or are we not going to let or our minds already made up. Get
out words out of that. Oh, I don't have any problem with her at all. I just I think it's nice, and I think it's respectful to open it up to. Just, like I said, the paper's going to come out with it, and we may get a couple of calls that somebody might be interested. I think it's nice to have that opportunity, but I'm like I said, I don't have any. I don't have any other thoughts in mind.
I don't either. But I'm just thinking about the public that here's an opening. Is it open? is it an opening or is it already done? My feeling is we ought to make some statement that says we are open to folks to speak to us about it. I'm interested in the position.
And
I'm totally satisfied. I'm totally satisfied with Ann, and but on the other hand, for us to just not even consider, I don't think is a good thing to do.
And that's how it would take a lot for me to change my mind off of Ann, but I don't know who hasn't applied and who wants to apply.
Right.
So I think from my perspective was, yeah, let's make it available for anybody who submit.
Yeah,
for application.
You want a timeline? You know,
probably
by this?
Two Mondays. I mean, not this coming Monday, but the following Monday, maybe. How's that? And appoint it during our Monday morning session, which would be August.
I think that would be good.
August 9th. Is that all right with you guys? That gives us.
So we're
putting it
on the agenda for August 9th to make an appointment.
Uh-huh.
And we are open for those that would be interested
right.
in the position to contact us.
Right.
Wonderful.
Do you want them to contact you or send like a resume slash?
Well, I guess they're going to contact you or Jillian. As soon
Correct.
As you get contact, let all three of us know
okay.
as soon as you get it, and that way we can contact them individually if we don't know them.
Okay.
But don't wait. I mean, as soon as you get one, get us all copies in our boxes.
Okay.
Or emails. There.
Okay.
While I've got you, I have a request.
Sure.
We talked about, as you're aware, of the vehicle purchase to the other municipalities,
okay.
and we're not going that direction. We met on July 6th. But there was one meeting previous of that we did not take a vote. Could you find that meeting for me so I could listen to the tape,
uh-huh.
please?
Linda will not be doing her meeting this morning.
Good.
Okay.
How about Paulson?
He's upstairs.
Good.
I just sent a note to Jillian to sit him down. If we could get, I could use a little recess. If it's
a couple minute recess?
Yeah.
I believe.
All we have left is that Bob Paulson, and then we're. What?
Gerald Davis will be coming over here. For the executive session. She requested it like 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so Carol Davis.
She should be here any moment.
Okay, let me do that first. Okay.